Heavenly Father, we are before you, O glorious King, our strong defense. Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us today as we open up your word and spend time together in your presence and prayer. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. O Lord, draw us closer to your heart in this season. You hear. You are near to all who call upon you, Lord, to all who call upon you in truth. O Lord, blessed is the one who trusts in you. There's nothing we desire besides you, Jehovah Sabaoth. You are our mighty shield and sword. O King, our glorious King, lead us in triumph, and you're worthy. In holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome, warriors. It's good to spend this lunch hour with you, feeding on the best food there is to feed on, our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us living bread, and we never need to hunger or thirst ever again, right? It's the precious time that he's given us, these noon hours together. And I just want to welcome you, those of you who are joining us across the nation at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, thank you for standing in the gap in prayer. You are precious in the Lord's sight. And for the many who are listening online, we're so grateful for you to unite our hearts with ours as the Lord is knitting our hearts together in his love and just blanketing the nation in prayer in this very urgent and desperate season. We need to be a church that prays. The church of God is to be a house of prayer. And so we're here to be obedient and to listen to the heart of our Lord and to receive the love that he's pouring out to us in this season. This noon hour is specifically set aside for a time of confession and repentance, and that's important. If we look at our devotional this morning from Psalm 24, we learn that the Lord of hosts is none other than the King of Glory. Our great warrior is also a great king, a benevolent and kind king. But there's this question that's set before us in Psalm 24. It tells us, who may ascend? This is verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. So the person who can approach this great king needs to follow this. They have to have clean hands and a pure heart. They cannot lift up their soul to an idol nor swear deceitfully. And we know that this scripture is speaking of the only pure one, the one who is infinitely perfect, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can enter into the gates of heaven and open those gates wide for us to come in. He has cleared a channel for us. And our Lord wants us to be able to ride in triumph with him and to live a life of victory. He says in Revelation, this is when he comes back in glory, Revelation 19 tells us this, how he has come back from battle, fresh from battle with his robes dripped in blood. This is Revelation 19:11. It says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Lord has come back from battle. He's come back valiantly. He's won for us our freedom. And we are his spoils of war. And he wants us to walk triumphantly in these beautiful robes of white that he's given us. We come in repentance in this hour because it's repentance that opens the door to God's mercy and grace. It's, he gives to us his free gift of grace. It's a free gift. And through repentance, we restore intimacy with God. And it enables us to walk in our spiritual authority so we can pray with authority, so we can pray with power, so we can lay hold of his blessings. Our repentance clears the channel so that we can have that close, deep, abiding, intimate relationship that the Lord desires for us. It's the highest priority he has for our lives, is intimacy with him. And so today we just want to be able to bow our hearts reverently before the Lord. And as he rides triumphantly into those gates of heaven, we want him to ride triumphantly into our hearts and open wide the gates of our hearts and let him cover us with his garments of love. Isaiah 1 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Christ in us is the hope of glory." We need to let him ride in triumphantly in our hearts. People should be able to see in us the wealth of his kingdom, the riches of his love and of his grace and his power and his wisdom. And it's grace that enables us to commune with him on this deep, intimate love level. And so in this hour, we want to lay our lives before him, bare our hearts before him, allow him to examine us and rid us of anything that hinders our closest communion with him. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want anything standing in the way of having our whole hearts, our whole lives. We repent because God is perfectly holy and righteous. It's not because we get caught in our sin. We repent because he's holy. And he says to us, "Be holy because I am holy." We confess specific sins by name. God wants us to address the sins. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to us when we pray and show us those things we need to address. And so we need to speak them out, call them out, and confess them. We bring the sin when we're in a time of repentance. We bring the sin out of darkness into light. We expose them to the light. And then that opens the door for healing. We're set free. We no longer hide in the dark. When we repent, we also own the pain that our choices have caused others and the doorways that we've opened to the enemy. I always say that in a home, if a husband or wife isn't praying, it's like taking the hinges off of the door and just inviting Satan to come in and wreak havoc in your home and destroy your family. We need to pray. We repent, and then we commit. Repentance is not just a turning away from, it's a turning towards something. And we turn to Christ, and we commit to a changed behavior through the power of his Holy Spirit. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. He does that sanctifying work through his word, through the truth. And then he sets us free to walk in liberty, to walk in a direction of freedom and liberty. We need to consciously, after we repent and receive God's forgiveness, we need to receive it. A lot of people who are constantly repenting over the same sins, we need to stop looking at the sin, repent of it, and turn to Christ. Look at his sacrifice. Believe his sacrifice. Receive the cleansing of his blood. And focus on that. We run the race before us with our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. We don't run looking at the sin we're dragging behind us. We're not going to get anywhere. We will not progress in that. So we have to make a conscious effort to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, which is Ephesians 4:24 says. And then through the Spirit's empowerment, we can walk free from the temptations that originally ensnared us. We can get rid of those sin that ensnares us and run the race with our eyes fixed on Jesus. So as we go before the Lord in prayer, let's just come, lay our hearts bare before him, let him examine them, be honest, and then pour out our hearts in confession and repentance. We're here to stand and get in the gap on behalf of the church, the body of Christ. The body's weak right now. We've lost power. We've got to clear the channel, and it's up to each one of us to allow the Holy Spirit to do that sanctifying work in our lives so we can restore lost power, so the body of Christ can be healthy and whole. We're only as strong as our weakest link. We've all got to come to that place of confession. We're holding back God's power in our lives. We're hindering ourselves from walking in victory. And we're holding back the healing that this land needs to experience. So let's stand in the gap and pray. There's a lot of beautiful prayers of repentance in the Word of God. You can bring those before the Lord. You can come up here to the altar and get on your knees and just cry out to the Lord, either into the microphone or just in private before him, and also in the center microphone. And for those who are listening online, please take this time in the silence to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and be honest. And let's just empty ourselves before the Lord. He can't fill a full vessel, and he wants to fill us with the fullness of himself. But if we're so stuffed full of ourselves and our sin and our worldliness and our carnality, I mean, he's going to be jealous, and he's going to come after us with a vengeance, and he's just going to have to do that refining, purifying work. And it can be really painful if we're not willing to just surrender. He's given us an opportunity to do that in these noon hours together during these 21 days, just to surrender to his sweet promptings so he can make us whole and healthy. Let's go before him and give him what he wants, what he desires, and what he deserves, our whole hearts. Lord Jesus, you have given us your word and the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit to help us serve you while we live in this world. By your power, we ask that you would just keep us set apart from this world and all its temptations. Help us not to succumb to the evil and corrupt influences that are all around us. But let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds and become more like Christ and leave a transforming influence upon this world. And make it a better place, Lord Jesus. To not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Holy Spirit, come with your launderer's soap and do your cleansing work. And with your refiner's fire, purify our hearts. Even though it's painful, Lord, when you touch those places we hold so dearly to, God, we need to surrender. We need to be purged of every fleshly defilement, of every sinful thought, of every wrong ambition and every carnal desire, if we are to be useful to you, O Lord. Sin is blocking your channel of mercy, and you've given us the gift of this season to clear those channels and make us clean vessels for the Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we just ask today that you would search our hearts. God, know our hearts, try us. Know our thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in us, that you may send seasons of refreshing to us and open the door of your grace. We are before you, Lord. Speak to our hearts and help us to be honest and confess our sins and repent, that you may bring healing to our lives, to our families, to your body, and to this land. We pray in Jesus' name. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Lord, you chasten us for our profit, that we may be partakers of your holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. My people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be here forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Lord, help us to forsake our wicked ways, our unrighteous thoughts. Lord, you are slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Thank you for your forgiveness and love. Let your grace transform our lives, Lord Jesus. Guide us into repentance and renewal. Lord, we praise you that you are not slow to fulfill your promises, as some count slowness, but you are patient toward us, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For you have said that you have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Lord, we acknowledge your kindness, your forbearance, and your patience. We want to live a life that honors you. Our hearts are before you, Lord Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. O Lord, we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name.
Psalms 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my ear to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word in your servant and that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. Dear Lord, I'm so sorry for all the times, which is most every day, that I'm not just looking at you, Lord, and that my eyes stray and look at things that I shouldn't look at. My mind wanders, Lord, and thinks of things that are not of you, Lord. And Lord, just wash us in your blood. Wash me in your blood, Lord. Lord, we want to be a righteous and holy. We want to be like Christ, Lord. Help us to die to our flesh daily and to put on Christ, Lord. And thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that we get to live with you forever and eternity, worshiping you and having a glorified body and without sin, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for that we have the inheritance of you, Lord, and we get to live forever. But Lord, help us to be more righteous here on earth, Lord, and to bring you glory and Lord, just to die to all the ways that are not of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to repent for complacency in my own life, for trusting in other things for joy and peace instead of my God. And I want to share some scripture, but I just want to repent the same thing for his church as I repent for myself. Just for the complacency of the church and forgetting how powerful great our God is, and that he should be the one that we always turn to for help. And I was reading today in Matthew, it was the parable of the sower, but the part that stood out to me was when the disciples asked Jesus, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" He answered, "Because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to them. For anyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have plenty. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away. Here is why I speak to them in parables. They look without seeing and listen without hearing or understanding. That is, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'You will keep on hearing but never understand, and keep on seeing but never perceive, because the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, so as not to see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and do teshuvah,' which means repentance and turning, 'so that I could heal them.'" And I see this in so many people. But they seem like they can't see or hear, Father. They seem like they can't understand. And repent so that you can heal them and save their souls. And after I read that, I was drawn to, I was remembering a scripture in the Psalms, in Psalm 115. It says, "Not to us, Adonai, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your grace and truth. Why should the nations ask, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Their idols are mere silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they can't feel. They have feet, but they can't walk. With their throats, they can't make a sound." In this verse 8, is what stood out to me. "The people who make them will become like them, along with everyone who trusts in them." And many times today, Father, we don't think we're serving idols because our idols don't look like they did in Bible times. But when we choose to do that, then our ears become deaf when our eyes can't see and we can't understand and feel and know what you're saying to us, and repent. And I just repent today on behalf of your people and those that come and sit in churches every weekend, but they can't hear and they can't see. And I just repent, Father, for idolatry in our lives, in our bloodlines. Just idolatry and looking to other gods instead of you, looking to other things instead of you. Please forgive us. Please cleanse us and open our hearts to you that we can hear and see and understand and follow you with all of our hearts. And let your kingdom come here on this earth, Father, and go out and preach the kingdom to those who are desperate and need you. Just please forgive us. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under sin, but under grace. O Lord, we are before you today to acknowledge how far we have fallen short of your standards. It is pride and cowardice that keeps us from confessing those hidden sins. God, we ask for courage to honestly examine our hearts and to reveal to us any pattern of sin that we've tried to justify so that we may repent and walk in holiness again. Lord, we thank you that you freely forgive us when we confess our sins, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord, and you empower us by your Holy Spirit to live every day in a manner that honors you. Lord, we ask that you reveal to us those things that are weakening your body, any known thoughts, attitudes, actions, or habits that do not please you. Within your church, all kinds of gossip and gluttony, anger and pride, racism, pornography, occult, idolatry, dishonesty. Lord, there's multitudes of sins within your body, the church, that we need to confess. Lord, I ask, Lord, that those sins that are entrenched as strongholds in people's lives, that you would give them your grace to continually to fight until the day comes when those sins are broken. And that for those who keep being condemned by their sins, that they will not listen to the enemy's accusations of failure, but to fight through with your help. And that with each repentance that we reckon ourselves dead to sin's enslavement by the power of your Spirit and walk each day in victory. O Lord, we praise you that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to see ourselves as forgiven and redeemed sons and daughters of God. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus.
Book of James, chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
Father God, I thank you for this sweet time. This hard time to look at ourselves. You're standing before a righteous and holy God. And our sin is ever before us, Lord. Thank you for the things that you're doing, the hard and difficult things, for having us look at our hearts, having us measure our motives, having us walk into your house with an agenda other than to come and worship you, using it as a social time. Oh God, forgive us. Let your praise be on our lips. Let our hearts be soft before you, God. Dig up our hearts. We who are called by your name, we're the ones that are standing in the way of your mercy and your grace for this world. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. My groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand of displeasure was heavy upon me. My energy was drained as with burning in the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my wickedness. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and he forgave the guilt of my sin. Do not be like a horse or a mule that have no understanding, whose trappings include bridle and rein to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Lord, forgive me of my sins of complacency and my hardness of heart, owning my own time when you give me the very breath in my lungs, when you whisper in my ear and I shut my ear to you, when your spirit gives me prompting and I decide to turn the other way, when you're calling me to sit still in your presence and my agenda screams to me, I confess my sin, Lord. I confess the sins of your church. Father, fall afresh on us. Clear the channels. Open our hearts to the things that you are saying to us. Help us to bow down and see who you are so that we rightly see who we are. therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely the great waters of trial and distressing times overflow. They will not reach him. You are my hiding place, Lord. Protect me in trouble and surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Oh God, begin in me. Begin in my marriage. Begin in my relationships. Begin in my church, God. Begin in my neighborhood, my town, Lord. In our state, and let it just fly through this nation so that you will be rightly worshiped and glorified, and we can right ourselves, Lord. We look around in confusion when we have the keys and the answers in our hands. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven, in the heavens, should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.' Previously saying, 'Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And in every priest stands, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Father, I just come and, Lord, I just confess, Lord, that I have looked to other things before you. Father, where I've looked to the bread of this earth instead of the bread of life, Father, forgive me. Father, where I've looked for the cup to satisfy me of this world, Lord, forgive me for not looking for the fountain of life, the fountain of living water. Father, where my pride, where my desire to put myself before others, Father, where my own logic and lack of wisdom, I've put that above yours. Father, forgive me. Father, I pray that you would just be renewing each of our hearts. That you would be aligning our hearts with your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, forgive me. I repent of putting other things before you. Other things that I seek to satisfy that place of justification. Or that even I try to think that I can make my salvation my own. So, Father, I pray that you would just help me to lay myself down. Lord, that you would remove those walls. Lord, in the walls of all of us in this room and, Lord, just across the nation, Father, that we would humbly bow before your throne, seeing Jesus is the only way, the only bread, the only water that will satisfy.
Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word.
Father, I just want to repent again for myself and as a part of the body of Messiah, your church. And the sins of the mouth are really heavy on me right now, just to repent for this, for your body. And so James chapter 3 and 4, and I know I probably don't have time to read it all because the hour's almost up, but I just want to read part of it. It's about the tongue and how our tongue can set a whole forest ablaze with fire. And it can't be tamed by people. It says, Father, you can do that for us when we submit. Your word says, out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Brothers, it isn't right for things to be this way. A spring doesn't send both fresh and bitter water from the same opening, does it? Can a fig tree yield olives, my brothers, or a grapevine figs? Neither does salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him demonstrate it by his good way of life, by actions done in the humility that grows out of wisdom. But if you harbor in your hearts bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, don't boast and attack the truth with lies. This wisdom is not the kind that comes down from above. On the contrary, it is worldly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there are jealousy and selfish ambition, there will be disharmony in every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceful, kind, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And peacemakers who succeed in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What is causing all the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it your desires battling inside you? You desire things and don't have them. You kill and you are jealous and you still can't get them, so you fight and quarrel. The reason you don't have is that you don't pray, or you pray and don't receive because you pray with the wrong motive, that of wanting to indulge your own desires. You unfaithful wives, don't you know that loving the world is hating God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Or do you suppose the scripture speaks in vain when it says that there is a spirit in us which longs to envy, but the grace he gives is greater, which is why it says God opposes the arrogant, but to the humble he gives grace. Therefore, submit to God. Moreover, take a stand against the adversary and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Clean your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. Wail, mourn, sob, let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And Father, we just humble ourselves before you today and ask you to forgive these sins of criticism and judgment and slander and gossip and speaking against others that you are in covenant with, your own covenant people, for speaking against each other and for praying with selfish ambition and bitter jealousy and envy in our hearts so that we don't pray with your wisdom. That we have been praying with that worldly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom that's not from above, and we have these things in our hearts. Please, Father, forgive these things. Forgive us for quarreling amongst each other and just not thinking of our brothers and sisters and your body, not considering your body. We just repent for pride and arrogance and humble ourselves before you today and ask you to forgive the sins of your body in the mighty name of Jesus.
He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. When we cling to sin, we give place to the devil. Come, you children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. O Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and love. We thank you, Lord, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O gracious Lord, how thankful we are that you have opened this fountain of cleansing for us, Lord, to bring healing to your children and to your church. Lord, let your grace transform our lives, Lord Jesus, and draw us closer to your heart. Continue to guide us, Lord, as we seek repentance and renewal in your mighty name. We give you all the glory and praise, our great King, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. May you go out in the joy of the Lord today, free from all the burdens and the sin that so easily entangles, and just run the race with the joy of the Lord before you. He loves you. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. And I look forward to seeing you this evening at 6:00. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name.